Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Be a Planner Show this week. It is Saturday, September 4th, there in the Central Time Zone. Glad you can join us. For all of you folks that are still at the expo up in Dallas, I know I've had several people text me saying that they would be listening in as they're attending certain events. Don't worry about that. Focus on the expo. That's a marvelous event that Lifestyles puts on, having participated in more than a couple of those. And I strongly encourage, I hope a lot of you were able to make it up there. I know I told a lot of my clients about it. And there are some gems of wisdom amongst the bad advice that also is part and parcel of that platform. However, when it comes to what I call REPs, real estate private partnership syndications, they've certainly got a good mousetrap built for the new investor, and we like that. As usual, I want to just mention real quick that in addition to the disclaimer that KSEV led with at the top, Be a Planner, MP Ross CPA, MP Ross CPAs, Nathan Ross, etc., does not become your tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisor simply because you listen to this radio show, hear a podcast, access a website, send us a contact us request, etc., etc., and you only have a relationship with us once you've received and paid our initial invoice that will have some verbiage explaining exactly what the scope is of what we're going to do for you. As I mentioned, this show is first appearing on September 4th. You may hear it later on podcast or even some video. We're working on a series of videos that will include the radio shows, and at some point we may even stream those live. We'll let you know ahead of time for those of you that care, and I guess I'll actually mean I'll have to shave that day, but in any event, that's a minor detail. Discussions of tax issues, which are mainly what we do here on the show. As you know, we're trying to provide tax planning strategies for investors that have decided, well, one of several types of investors. A lot of our clients are invested in REPs or real estate private partnership syndications, so we're looking to minimize the tax on those investments and other tax planning strategies, perhaps a family tax vehicle or some strategies involving the zero tax math that we employ to get your taxes down very low as you move towards retirement. And in any event, the world is a flux right now when it comes to tax issues, and we will stay as up to date as we know. On the other hand, boy, there's stuff being discussed almost every day. This week we had more ramblings of the somewhat, I'm going to say, insane group of leaders we have in Washington, talking about now they want to substantially raise tax on companies that do stock buybacks and on CEOs. And, you know, I have an idea. Why don't we just tax everything they make? Why don't we put 100% corporate tax rates in? It's still not enough money for the people that are spending our money in Washington. Maybe it'll run out. Then what are we going to do, right? And it just amazes me how easily they throw out these trial balloons, these suggestions. And if you think the 60% of Americans that paid no tax last year are going to object, Well, you're wrong. They're going to love it. Oh, yeah, let's tax the other guy, right? But there's not enough money out there, even if you did that, to appease the rabid spending that we have going on in Congress. And thank goodness, I'm hoping Joe Manchin stays strong. You may have noticed his op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this week where he's saying he will not support $3.5 trillion of spending at the current time. Now, that doesn't mean somebody else might. You know, we could still have a Republican step up to the plate, you know, maybe a Mitt Romney or, you know, some of the other more liberal-leaning Republicans that could provide that last vote. But at least Manchin's saying that he can't support it. Now, the problem with Manchin is he's a conservative when he knows he's got it covered. And if it's, I can think of almost no scenario where he was the deciding vote on anything material in his history as a senator or in Congress, where he actually voted in a manner that was against the Democratic caucus and something didn't pass. That just doesn't, or it hadn't happened. So I'm hoping that he will remain strong and do what he says, which is, hey, we need to put a pause on all this spending. And boy, does he say the right reasons. The inflationary factor is off the charts. It's a hidden tax, but material tax. And in general, we don't even know what we want to spend the money on. It hasn't been vetted through significant debate through the congressional process. And he said it needs to be. And boy, it's just finally some common sense. And perhaps the lone voice that we need to cause this tax legislation to change in a material way. But in any event, I'll try to stay off the soapbox. It's just hard to understand how the Congress people think about money. I think it's because so many of them now are the younger generation where they've never experienced the good old days, quote unquote, of the Depression, like you and my parents did, and they just don't understand you got to work for something. It can't just be handed to you the rest of your life, even though it has been to date. I mean, that's the problem. The AOC era has never had anything but things provided for them. They've never had to do without, and that's, you know, that's problematic. If you'd like to discuss how we can work with you, your specific facts and circumstances, perhaps you want to see our 401 math illustration, or you want to understand how we can do a Roth conversion to save you a lot of money based on specific circumstances, of course, feel free to go to the Be A Planner website. It's BEAPLANNER, and I've got a set of intake forms right there at the top. There's a link along with the schedule a call link, so you've got access to me. And if you'll give me enough of your information where I can craft those or that illustration, I'll be happy to do that for you. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I should have mentioned this earlier, is don't try these strategies at home, please. Just because you hear it on the radio doesn't make it fit your facts and circumstances. Doesn't even mean it's up to date. I know we say we try, but whether it's my show or other shows, please check with someone you're using now, your advisors, be it tax, legal, real estate, or other professionals that know your specific facts and circumstances, so you don't go do something where you turn left instead of turning right or go straight ahead and end up in the wrong spot. But in any event, let's see, I was going to mention that, you know, in a nutshell, what we do is try to help you understand which section of the Internal Revenue Code or sections that you would want to execute your investments or your business activities under, because by doing so, we can gain significant tax leverage or tax savings that can allow you to invest more money in income-producing assets. And, you know, there's a long time, and today's life expectancy
time frame, there's a lot of years left. I think the IRS has us males at about 85, females are 87, 88. That's a long time that you've got to generate enough money to live. And, you know, contrary to what I heard on the show just before ours, I was listening in as I was getting ready, you know, they threw out a number of $4,000 a month was when some people could be retired. Well, I don't know. I've got a lot of clients that are members of that group, and I can't think of one of them that would agree that $4,000 is going to enable them to be retired. And then, of course, I hear later in the show that two rental houses is what the average member has, which I don't believe that's true, but for whatever reason, that's what was said, and that does not constitute retirement. Trust me, two single-family rentals might generate, I don't know, $300 a month, $300 to $400 a month if we're talking, you know, 322 single-story brick homes, the bread and butter of the single-family investor, at least in the Houston market. And those are good investments, don't get me wrong, but it takes a lot of money to crack into the single-family market. Contrary to what you'll hear on the radio, it's a $15,000 to $20,000 minimum for the down payment, closing cost, etc. And I would argue that the multifamily route, if you have $50,000 to $100,000 to invest, is certainly a more sustainable model, particularly as you get older. And of course, the whole reason we're doing investing is because we want to live a lifestyle that we, quote, deserve, I hear all the time on the radio. And we do deserve it. But it's not going to happen if you've got properties that, as most do, I know it's not said on the radio, I'm just telling you, having bought and sold myself over 150 single-family properties at one point, it takes time out of your day at times. And you know, I would just suggest that as you get older, certainly you want to consider investing passively with a younger person, in fact, that doesn't mind getting out of bed in the morning to go run those Class C apartments. You know, that's a wonderful model for building passive income streams. So in any event, and by the way, when we run our 401 math illustration, we're going to ask you how you define retirement. Is it $4,000 a month after tax, or is it $40,000? You know, I've got clients all in between. And so we want to understand, you know, what you, how you define retirement. We also want to understand the amount of money that you have to work with. These questions don't get asked when you hear that we'll retire you in 5 years or less, or I think the mantra now is our average member on the platform that I mentioned is 2.5 years. That's insane, to use one of their words. That doesn't happen, except if you got $1 million or more and you define retirement as $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Anyway, we'll be back after the break here, and if you do have some questions, give me a call, 281-558-5738, or shoot a text to 713-782-1900. We'll be right back.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Dan Patrick here for American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. I know the calendar says September, but you and I both know that Texas heat can last almost to Thanksgiving. Hot, humid days could still be ahead, and those wet, sticky nights. Take care of your family 12 months a year with American Standard Air. 130 years, American Standard technology and know-how can deliver clean, cool, and humidity-free air. Or you can switch over for a little heat when you need it on a chilly fall morning or cool evening. Control is literally at your fingertips from your smartphone or laptop anytime, anywhere. It's really that easy. Weather's changing in Texas, and then, as you know, it changes again. That's Texas. You gotta love it. I do. That's why it's been my home now for over 40 years. I'm comfortable all year long with my American Standard home comfort system, and you will be too. Have comfort the way you like it. AmericanStandardAir.com. That's AmericanStandardAir.com. They're the best.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. Don't touch that dial. My program is coming up very shortly.
Welcome back to the BF Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And, I would say that's one possible way the wealthy will react to higher taxes. But let me tell you, the wealthy will be okay because they've got smart guys and gals doing their planning. And I can assure you their income streams will adjust to accommodate the areas of the tax code that don't tax them as heavily as the Congress people think they can. And, you know, I think of the Roadrunner cartoon when I think of how the wealthy react to taxes. They're always one step ahead. And I tell you, it's hard to imagine the level of taxation that it looks like is trying to be extracted out of the wealthy. And it's not even just the wealthy. I mean, we talk about capital gains on real estate, and I'm just telling you, if the capital gain is big enough, it's going to get taxed as if it's ordinary income if this plan goes through. I pulled up the Manchin op-ed that I mentioned. This was September 2nd, so when was that? I guess Thursday. And as I'm going to read a few passages in here, and I know you're going to struggle to remember, this is a Democrat. I know it's very odd that these sayings would be coming out of a Democrat's mouth, although, frankly, as I've said many times on the show, there's not much difference these days between Democrats and Republicans. It's simply, how are we going to spend the money? It's not how much. And all you need to do is look back to last year, where we spent several trillion dollars, which, you know, Mr. Manchin references here. But in any event, he says the nation faces an unprecedented array of challenges and will inevitably encounter additional crises in the future. That's something that, you know, 28, 29-year-old Congress people or early 30s don't seem to grasp. And he goes on to say, yet some in Congress have a strange belief that there is an infinite supply of money to deal with any current or future crisis, and that spending trillions upon trillions will have no negative consequence for the future. I disagree. Remarkable that this is I wish Republicans would talk like this, right? An overheating economy has imposed a costly inflation tax on every middle and working class American. At $28.7 trillion and growing, the nation's debt has reached record levels. Over the past 18 months, this includes the Trump administration, we spent more than $5 trillion responding to the coronavirus pandemic. $5 trillion. Now, Democratic congressional leaders propose to pass the largest spending bill in history with no regard to rising inflation, crippling debt, or the inevitability of future crises. Ignoring the fiscal consequences of our policy choices will create a disastrous future for the next generation of America. and or Americans. And he goes on to say that, you know, if you think this is being overstated, what do we do if the pandemic gets worse under the next viral mutation, which, you know, that's probably inevitable. I know I saw an article yesterday where Hawaii's just had a big reoccurrence, and one of 10 people that were vaccinated have gotten confirmed cases and apparently have spread it. And so, you know, here again, we're getting, I hope the government can execute the tax legislation better than we've executed the vaccine, and better than we've, God help us, executed the Afghanistan withdrawal. And I'm telling you, I have I don't have a suspicion. I know the government doesn't understand the impact of this. And I say the government, meaning Congress. And it's hard to explain why other congressmen don't feel like Manchin. And you know, I'm just going to read you the last part of what I think is kind of interesting approach. Instead of rushing to spend trillions on new government programs and additional stimulus funding, Congress should hit a strategic pause on the budget reconciliation legislation. A pause is warranted because it will provide more clarity on the trajectory of the pandemic and will allow us to determine whether inflation is transitory or not. You know, the Biden administration would have you to believe, oh, this is just temporary, this inflation. Well, why do you add another $3.5 trillion to it? And then let's see how transitory. Anyway, Manchin says, while some have suggested this reconciliation legislation must be passed now, I believe that making budgetary decisions under artificial political deadlines never leads to good policy or sound decisions. Now, this is unusual. I have always said, if I can't explain it, I can't vote for it. And I can't explain why my Democratic colleagues are rushing to spend $3.5 trillion. So good for him. Let's hope he's not just trying to get a better deal for West Virginia, his state, obviously, and that he sticks to his guns, because it's not pretty, or it's not going to be pretty. I had a question come in this week that was specifically about syndications, real estate private partnership syndications, to be specific, and normally the type of asset involved that our clients gravitate to is multifamily apartment buildings. And Luis asked, in a syndications capital raise, how do we know that the monthly or quarterly returns advertised are not included in the capital raise itself? Meaning, are we paying ourselves back? And you know, Luis, I've brought this up on the radio now several times, and I'll continue to say it. I have no... I'll be the bad cop here. We'll let other people play the good cop. But I'm going to tell you right now, when somebody is telling you they're going to start quarterly distributions or monthly distributions the very first quarter after you've invested, I think it's safe to assume that they're taking that out of your capital, unless that property is 95% occupied and they literally hit the ground with positive cash flow, which could be. I mean, that has happened. And, in fact, there's a transaction that several of my clients are looking at right now that I think could make that claim. But, you know, and you might say, well, that's okay if I'm just getting my money back. The problem is, it's not just you. The manager or the management team, who in many cases has no money in that transaction, is also getting their distributions. And now it takes on a little different character when you realize that. And I would suggest to you that you're absolutely right to be thinking this way, and you really won't know, I mean, other than just using common sense, as I'm suggesting, unless you go further in terms of underwriting the deal, which is something that we are getting ready to do more of. And I'll just tell you, once you underwrite a deal and you go through the calculations involved, and that's a lot of work, by the way, then you begin to understand real clearly whether the funds would be there from operations, because most underwriting would be done, you know, on a monthly basis at some level, maybe not the global level, but certainly before you could put a value on a particular project. So in any event, I don't like it. I don't like it any more than I like the upfront fees that I've discussed. I have nothing against fees. I feel like fees are part of the – it makes the world go round is the way I would explain it. However, there's got to be some rational thought given to the timing. You know, when you take a 2% acquisition fee on a $50 million transaction – day one, when you close, and I say you, I mean the lead partner, the syndicator, the sponsor, whatever you want to call them, that is money right out of the capital raise that, you know, no lender is providing the funding for. And, you know, if you stop and think about that, well, you know, this is the same sponsor, manager, syndicator, whatever you want to call the folks leading the transaction, they're the same ones that are getting anywhere from a 20 to a 30% promote or override out of the capital. So when you invest your $100,000, let's say, your money really, in terms of the active capital that could be working, has been diluted down to, I don't know, depends on the level of the acquisition fee, et cetera, but you're somewhere in the 50% range. That's astonishing that much of your money is going into the back pocket of the sponsor without any performance. And again, I don't mind if you want to do that as long as you get me my 2x multiple of equity, my 20% IRR, et cetera. It's just I got to wait 4, 5, 6 years to see if you're going to be able to do that. And in the meantime, you've taken an extra $4 or $5 million off the top out of the transaction. And I just recoil at that notion, because that's not the way the whole market has been until maybe the last couple of years. You're starting to see that stuff seep in, and folks like Grant Cardone are out there doing 30% type promotes and assorted fees. Of course, he's the same guy that I'm not joking. He's got a video out there very recent, like in the last month, targeting rap stars, movie stars, sports guys, etc., where he's telling them that you can generate $2.4 million of tax depreciation write-off on a $4.8 million investment and one of his transactions. That's insane, and it's absolutely wrong. It's horrible tax advice, because these folks are passive. They're not actively participating in his transaction. So, hey, Grant, how about letting me come help you run that deal? Then I can be active. Well, you'll see a huge 180 when that question gets asked. And I find it incredible that people think like that, and without... Of course, he did tell you need to check with your accountant. Boy, I'll say, that's good advice. That might keep him from getting sued for that reason, right? Got other lawsuits out there, but that's not the reason. I just got a question. Someone wanted me to clarify the 50% mark that I mentioned. What I'm trying to say is, if you put a dollar in and you give 30 cents of the upside and the interim cash flows to the promote, in other words, the syndicator's getting that as their override, and then you're taking another chunk out off the top for fees that the lender didn't generate, the property hadn't generated those fees when they're paid like that. And by the way, it's not just the acquisition fee. 2% acquisition fee, 7 to 10% construction management fees. That wouldn't be as big a number, obviously, because you're not, you know, doing a $50 million rehab, but it's still sizable. And then you've got a refinance fee, which probably would be as big a number, 1% typically on that level. And then you've got a 2% disposition fee off the top. Add it up on a $50 million project. You know, the project hopefully goes up in value. So let's say it goes up to 60 by the time you sell. That's a $1.2 million fee. And so all I'm trying to tell you is your $100,000 investment is not $100,000 of your investments, kind of like your 401 that's worth $1 million, or you say there's $1 million there, it's not worth that to you. The government's a big partner. Well, so is the sponsor on these transactions. And again, I'm not barking over the fact that there are fees. I understand there have to be fees for people to pay overhead, etc. I'm complaining about the timing and the fact that they're looking out for them more so than they are you. I hear the music. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, I've got a couple strategies I want to bring up today, and then we'll take more questions. Keep the questions coming and or phone calls, 281-558-5738, KSEB 700 AM, the voice of Texas.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Want to get really growing? ArborGate Soil Complete and ArborGate Blend provide a 1-2 punch that simply works. 80% of a plant's success rate depends on what's below the ground. Start with Organic Soil Complete. It's handcrafted from organic materials, including vegan compost, rose soil, and expanded shale. Perfect for your beds or containers, and is available by bulk or in bags. Then, feed your plants with our Organic Blend plant food. It's time-released and will not burn. Made with composted poultry litter, organic matter, calcium, molasses, and 11 species of mycorrhizal fungi. Sound delicious? Your plants will think so. This powerful organic combo, designed especially for gardening success in our area, will energize your green thumb as never before. So head out to the Arbor Gate, located in Tomball on FM 2920, a mile and a half west of Highway 249, or visit us online at arborgate.com.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world, and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And getting by ain't living is something that I hear from my clients all the time when they hear other commentators or real estate gurus give tax advice on the radio. That is a little bit, let's just say it sells huff for the memberships that they're selling for real estate programs. We understand, and we also have the math to where we can refute the inaccurate advice. I had a question come in right at the end of last week's show that I couldn't get to, and it is a good question because this is such a national game now with syndications. We are so fortunate, however, that Texas is the hotbed for these reps or these real estate private partnership syndications for apartments. And I just, it amazes me how the whole nation is flocking to Texas, not, literally and figuratively, of course, but figuratively, you know, I've got clients in California. They don't invest in apartment buildings in L.A. or SFO or Santa Clara, et cetera. They're investing in Dallas and San Antonio, Houston, et cetera, because that's where the money is, right? And so the question was, are there implications? Let's say you did decide to invest in properties outside the state of Texas. A good example would be Arizona. You know, Phoenix is kind of a hotbed like Houston in its own way. The price per units are a bit higher out there. And the question is, are there implications, tax implications, to investing in syndications that are outside of your home state, pros and cons? Well, I can't think of any pros that are tax implications unless you're in California and you're investing here in Texas. Although, trust me, the state of California, for the most part, taxes that income just like it was earned in Los Angeles. You know, it's crazy how aggressive they are. And in any event, you know, that's problematic. That said, because the highest tax rate in California is, I think it's 13.8% now. Yeah, this is the state tax. This isn't federal. Federal is the same as Texas. So in any event, I guess my answer to that is, you know, the implications at the federal level would be the same as here in the state of Texas. Both state and local, if there is a local tax, would apply in whatever state you're in. And I would say that this is another reason that we Texans are so fortunate. We don't need to go far to find the best real estate private placement syndications. And I'll tell you the other reason, moving on to the couple strategies I was going to mention. Yeah, we talk about the self-directed 401 trust, or it's solo K would be the marketing term. And you've probably heard me refer to the fact that here in the great state of Texas, we can reallocate or repartition, or partition, I guess, not repartition, your 401k balances from your big company plan, or any company plan for that matter, or 403b, or 457, over to your better half, your spouse. So if you're happily married, underscore happily, you can take your funds that are sitting in Fidelity, and I've lost track of which of the big employers use Fidelity. I think AT&T might be one. Anyway, it doesn't matter whether it's Schwab, T. Rowe Price, Fidelity. And if you're under the age of 59, because as you know, if you call HR and say, hey, I want to invest my money in private real estate partnerships, how can I do that? Well, you're going to be told several things. Depends on the knowledge base of the CSR, customer service rep, with that administrator. And you'll always get at least two of the answers right. You'll be told, well, you got to be 59 and a half, which you're not in this case, my example. Or you've got to quit your job, which you may not be prepared to do. You may love your job, or you may love the cash flow that comes in every payday from that job. And yes, you've no doubt thought about it. Who amongst us didn't think of quitting their job at some point over the last, I don't know, in my case, it was 36 years ago. It's crazy to think it's been that long when I left Arthur Anderson. Wonderful firm. Tax department, be very clear about that, and started my own practice. And, you know, I felt like I'd retired because I got to work on what I wanted to work on, develop business I wanted to develop, didn't have a boss, quote unquote. Of course, I guess you might argue I had 300 of them at that point, but it's a little different, trust me, when you're working for people you want to work for. But in any event, you know, those two reasons are typically what you're going to hear. Now, there is a third, but, you know, the pension administrators or retirement fund administrators typically don't want to tell you that, oh, yeah, you can get a divorce. That will reallocate your assets. That is an option, I suppose, for some, but that's not going to allocate them the way we want to see them repartitioned or partitioned. We want the ability for you to take the money out of the Fidelity account or Schwab or T. Rowe or whoever and put that into your own self-directed 401 trust account, which is a single employee version or participant version of your big company 401k. Same rules, only there's one participant. So who wins all the votes when you decide what you're going to include in that trust in terms of allowing Roth conversions or in-service distributions where you literally can write yourself a check when you're ready to pay the tax on it? You don't have to be 59 and a half. You could be 38 and a half if that's at the point that we set the trust up. And so for those of you that are thinking, well, gee, I really would like to invest, for all you folks at Expo right now that are meeting those lead partners or hearing, you know, the mantra of how you can retire early, understand this will double, this strategy, this 401 trust will double your retirement wealth accumulation. Why? Because when you roll your money from a 401, whether it's through a participant or a partition that's being executed between you and your spouse that works at the company, or whether it's because you yourself turned 59 and a half and now you can do the rollover, not paying the tax, avoiding the tax tomorrow or this week is worth an extra 100% over the next years, however you invest your money. I'm not saying it generates 100%. I'm saying having the 30 to 35% or higher, could be as much as 39.8, depending on how much money we're talking about, instead of you writing that check to the IRS to get control of your money, to then go join the investor platform and invest in real estate, private partnership syndications, and apartments, I'm saying you can do that without sending any money to the IRS. So now on a $350,000 401 balance, and this is the example, by the way, that I show out on the homepage of baplanner.com. You can scroll down to the bottom, and you can see that instead of sending that $94,500 check that would be due this year, if you chose to listen to the bad advice that I hear given all the time, you're going to be better off to the tune of $22 million in terms of the opportunity cost of what you're giving away. Okay, it's like winning the lottery without being told you won the lottery. And so I'm going to challenge you, if you've done that, go back to whoever told you to do that and ask them how you get your money back. Because it's just bad. It's bad advice. It's insane, to use their word. And I don't take it lightly. And you shouldn't either if you're being told to do that. And I'm just telling you, you've got a choice. Don't do it. Instead, roll it to the 401 trust. And then, yes, let's invest in private syndications. And let's invest that $95,000 that you're going to save because you didn't fall for the bad advice and two more $50,000 transactions that'll generate you somewhere between 10 and 20% if they're normal transactions. Again, check with your advisors. I'm not doing your planning here. I'm just trying to tell you what I've seen over the last 20 years. I was actually a vendor with that program and an investor, so I know whereof I speak. Anyway, let's pick up with this same topic when we come back. I hear the music for the break. We'll have one more segment. It's going to be a short one. However, if you have questions, either text me, 713-782-1900, or call 281-358-5738.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Staples Connect has everything for school at amazing prices. Now Staples 2-pocket paper folders are just 15 cents. And comp books, 24-pack Crayola crayons, and 8-packs of Pep Rally No. 2 pencils are 50 cents each. So you won't just be ready for school, you'll be prepared parent of the year ready.
I just want to thank my family and Staples for making this possible.
Visit your local Staples or staples.com/back to school and get more than ready for school. Ends 9/11. Limit 30, except no limit on pencils. Pocket folder offer in-store only.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. Don't touch that dial. My program's coming up very shortly.
Welcome back to the Be A Planner Show. We've got a short segment here as we wrap up today, and I hear a phrase often on the radio here on KSEV about unconventional wisdom, and there being some sort of mission to retire America one person at a time. And I think about that, and I think, you know, you would retire four at a time, or maybe two at a time would be relevant with the math, if you only understood what the tax laws permit. If you only understood which code sections to execute under, and then your radio show would be more than, as they say, coming in and going out on that show, front and back. The blank, blank show is for entertainment purposes only. Entertainment. That's how they view this. My show is not for entertainment. I, as I've said before, I hope it's entertaining, but this is serious business when you talk about people's retirement funds and having money available to live. And yeah, you talk about returning to core beliefs. How about less taxes equal more profits? That's my core belief, and that's most of my clients' core belief. And so most assuredly, the hype ends and the help begins towards accumulating financial freedom once you understand how to execute your retirement funds to get started with your real estate investing. And there's no question, real estate, private placements, et cetera, are absolutely the asset space that you want to be in as you move forward for the next, you know, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, if you can go that long before you start taking funds. But in any event, even if it's 5 to 10, you're going to have twice as much money as you would if you cashed out. I can show you plain, simple math. It's just math, as I like to say. One of the other strategies that's part and parcel of investing in private company investments, private partnerships with your 401. And of course, you could do this with an IRA as well. It's just an IRA, unfortunately, is subject to the UDFI and the UBIT tax, which means the IRA itself will pay tax on any taxable income that comes off that IRA investment, which it may not happen right away. Typically, on these transactions, it'll occur the year that you exit. But in any event, with the 401 and the combination of the Roth conversion rules, two things. If you already have a solo K or 401 trust, you need to make sure that the plan documents actually allow for in-plan conversion. Many of them don't, because, you know, the IRA custodians don't have CPAs and tax attorneys manning the phones in their customer service group, and it's all they can do with keeping up with the fairly vanilla provisions and some of the custodian versions of the solo K. So it may not be feasible with the plan you have now, but don't fret. We can restate that plan to where it does include that option. And yeah, I'm just going to tell you, the tax rates are at a historic low
right now and may continue to be. Depends on what happens with Congress, and it depends on what level of income that they go after. The problem is, if you got a lot of money in your pre-tax 401, you're going to have to piecemeal the conversion to keep the rates down. And so that's what we do with our clients, is we optimize. It's not just a matter of rushing out and converting $1 million in your pre-tax over to Roth, because that's just as harmful as if you sent all your money to the IRS for the reasons I just indicated, right? You want to time it, and you want to generate the conversion tax at an optimal level. And understand that once you've done that, unlike the rip the Band-Aid off approach that I mentioned other platforms refer to about, well, hey, just cash out your 401 or your IRA, you're going to make so much money in these transactions, you're not going to miss it. Well, I don't know about you. And again, as I've mentioned before, just as the Saturday Night Live, one of my favorite sketches is that Phil Hartman caveman lawyer. I'm a caveman accountant. And all I know is that if I send that $95,000 in that example that I show you, I will miss the $22 million. I can promise you I'm going to miss the $22 million that those dollars would otherwise generate. And I know you're going to say, well, Nathan, that's hokey. You would have to keep that money invested, etc. Bingo. You are exactly correct. And guess how much investing you're going to do if you send the $95,000 to the IRS on day one? Yeah? Okay, so we would agree that's what happens. It's gone. You know what kind of rate of return the IRS gives you on your investments, quote-unquote, which is what many of the progressives would call our government spending? Last time I checked, it was zero, and I believe it's still zero. So rather than listen to the insanity that you should just cash out your retirement funds, show the government, beat your chest. Oh, yeah, Mr. Government, you don't get any more. How about we do that, and then after we've paid the same amount of money, the $95,000, we've got tax-free income the rest of your life off of those dollars. How about that approach? That's how planners do it. We're planners. We are not reporters. We're planners. We will help you understand what you're signing up for, along with which code section to execute under. And we'll do that whether it's involving your retirement funds, whether it's private syndicated real estate investments, Roth conversions, zero tax mass strategies. There are a number of overlays depending on your facts and circumstances that we will work with you on as you approach retirement. This is not a one-year process. It's easily a 5 to 10 year process of getting your funds repositioned, getting them staged. Real estate is an incredible driver to create wealth, but boy, are there a lot of other arrows in our toolkit that help you get to retirement and pay little, if any, income tax. Just like the 60% of our fellow Americans that are doing it now, it's just they're not going to have your retirement wealth. So if you want to take control of your pathway to financial freedom, connect with us. Let's take a look at your facts and circumstances, and I'll tell you real quick if we can sync up with you. So I hear the music coming. It's the end of the show. We enjoyed being with you again this week, and we'll look forward to next week. If you have questions, feel free to text or email me. You can email me at Nathan@mpross.com or text me at 713-782-1900. Look forward to next week.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.